Paul had been gone for 24 hours now. A car 3 blocks down was missing, too. She'd watched him leave after that strained scene on the porch, trying to remember what she'd said, what he'd overheard, pained at the confusion on his face. David had done the right thing giving Paul his blessing, but somehow that, too, the very strangeness of it, had made the moment worse. She'd watched Paul run off carrying his guitar, and she'd nearly gone after him. But her head ached, and she'd let herself think that maybe he needed some time to work this out on his own. Plus, surely he wouldn't go far. Where could he go, after all?
"Nora," Sam said. "Nora, are you okay?"
She closed her eyes briefly. Ordinary sunlight warmed her face. Sam's bedroom windows were full of prisms, and on this brilliant morning, light and color would be shifting, alive on every surface. "It's like making love in a disco," she told him once, half complaining, half enchanted, long shafts of color moving on his arms, her own pale skin. That day, as on every day since they'd met, Nora had intended to end things. Then Sam had traced the shaft of variegated light on her thigh with his finger, and slowly she'd felt her own sharp edges begin to soften, to blur, her emotions bleeding one into another in mysterious sequence, from darkest indigo to gold, reluctance transforming mysteriously to desire. Still, the pleasure never lasted past the drive home.
"I'm focusing on Paul right now," she said,
and then sharply she added,
"Look, Sam, I've had it, actually. I was serious the other day. Don't call me again."
"You're upset."
"Yes, but I mean it. Don't call me. Never again."
She hung up. Her hand was trembling. She pressed it flat on her desk. She felt Paul's disappearance like a punishment for David's long anger, for her own. The car he'd stolen had been found deserted on a side street in Louisville last night, but there had been no trace of Paul. And so she and David were waiting, moving helplessly through the silent layers of their house. The girl from West Virginia was still sleeping on the pull-out sofa in the den. David never touched her, hardly even spoke to her except to ask if she needed anything. And yet Nora sensed something between the two of them, an emotional connection, alive and positively charged, which pierced her as much, perhaps more, than any physical affair would have done. Bree knocked on the glass, then opened the door a few inches.
"Everything okay? Because Neil's here from IBM."
"I'm fine," Nora said. "How are you doing? Are you okay?"
"It's good for me to be here,"
Bree said brightly, firmly, "especially with everything else that's going on."
Nora nodded. She had called Paul's friends, and David called the police. All night and into this morning, she had paced the house in her bathrobe, drinking coffee and imagining every possible disaster. The chance to come to work, to put at least part of her mind on something else, had felt like sanctuary.
"I'll be right there," she said.